world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and I welcome you to this, the proceeding of a Friday night. We have with us Bill Campier. Is that right, bud? Bill Campier is an agent. He is a management guy. He represents all things, or at least some things, circus-related. Why are we talking about... What are you giving... No, I'm not going to... No, I won't, Margaret.
He's going to...
Hold on for a minute. We are going to talk about circuses, okay? And so anyway, welcome to the program. Our number is 855-500-7445. I don't care. I don't want to talk about it with you right now, you know.
Well, he is going to be calling in. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for jumping in here. Phil was told not to, and I have a little bit of a sore throat.
Okay.
What for?
That's none of your business.
Don't get hung up on his... Why do you ask those questions, bud?
Did you have a sore throat?
It's none of your business. Why? David's...
Let me deal with it, okay? We have Bill Campier, I think is his name. Let me see his name, bud. Bill Swenson. Why did you tell me his name was Campier?
This would look like on the card.
It looked like on the card that he gave you Bill Campier and his real name is Swenson? Are you guys high on life or something?
His name is Bill Swenson.
Then why do you got... So anyway...
Get someone that knows how to spell or someone that has the ability to write an English sentence. Someone that's out of job therapy. Someone that is can use their hands.
We have a controversy, folks. It's very simply this, that I wanted to talk about this circus situation.
Nobody knows about a circus situation, man.
Take it easy. I wanted to talk about a circus situation, and I get Margaret and I got David G. Hall giving me a hard time about all of this stuff. And if I'm going to talk to him, I don't want to talk to his girlfriend Daphne. I don't care how many Swizzlers she needs or donuts. Okay, David, you know what I'm saying, huh?
I gotta tell you something, Phil. You giving me the ground rules on something really, you know, you got no right to give me the ground rules on anything. You want to come on here and you want to start talking about a subject that could very well affect the bottom line of your radio show.
Circuses.
I don't know. But if I go out and I start to try and sell a circus on buying ad time on your radio show...
There's never been a circus that's bought any ad time on my radio show. Never, okay?
David, I tried, David.
No, I know you did.
What was this thing between you and Margaret? I mean, what was going on?
I asked her if she'd soften you up a little bit, obviously.
Well, you didn't give me a lot of time. I was trying to talk to you, Phil.
About what? What are you going to tell me? Circuses, as long as they use animals the way that they do, and I don't give a damn what they say they do, we'd like to take a look at just how these creatures are treated. I'm done with it, man. I'm done with zoos. I'm done with the amusement of humans using animals for our kicks, okay? Domesticated animals, I understand.
This is what I mean. Nobody understands what you're talking about right now, okay? No one understands what you mean by a domesticated animal.
Well, I understand. I think they do understand what I mean by a domesticated animal. I do.
They do, because I don't. And I'm a college-educated man.
You are.
I had 2 years. Here we go.
I'm a college-educated woman. I don't know what you mean.
By domesticated, you don't know what I mean.
No, I don't. I know what a wild animal is.
You know what a wild animal is? Then do you know what a domesticated animal is?
It's a trained animal.
No, it's not a trained animal.
Yeah, it is.
No, it is not.
What do you mean, no, it isn't? It's a trained animal.
That's the third no that I'm going to give. You want to go for a four?
All right, I'll buy it. It's a trained animal.
No, that's four. That's four no's. Anybody else?
Yeah, it's a trained animal.
And who are you, sir?
That's the janitor. Is that Chuck?
No, that's Chauncey. That Chauncey, we're just on the air now. Okay.
Okay, so that's five. Who is that guy?
That's the guy that cleans the place up, Chauncey.
Chauncey. No. So there's five no's. Okay?
All right, smart guy. What is it? What is a domesticated animal?
A domesticated animal is an animal that has been bred through generations of contact with human beings to live among humans, to recognize humans, to recognize that a human is a benefactor and the source, to be perfectly honest with you, domesticated animals see human beings as the source of life. We are almost God to...
Well, you said that as if you enjoy it.
I heard that too. No,
I don't enjoy it. No, I said it in a semi-amusing way, okay? At least it was amusing to me.
Yeah.
Was it amusing to you, bud?
Yeah, it was sort of.
In any event, we are, in a lot of ways, we're godlike to cats and dogs, because, but they also have an affinity to us. Dogs are part of our pack. Cats are our hunting buddies. Cats buddy up with us. Dogs are part of our pack. But they all know their roles. They all know what they do. One of these days, I'm going to have to figure out how cows relate to us.
Part of the herd, maybe.
Yeah, cows relate to us, sure, yeah. We're going to turn them into a steak?
Look, all I'm telling you is, there are domesticated animals, and it doesn't take place over the course of one lifetime. It takes place over... What are you doing, man?
Well, me? We're watching TV.
Well, would you mind turning that down or going into another room?
God, turn it down, baby. Turn it down, will you? Can I tell you something, Phil?
What?
Yeah, baby, I'm going to go to the other room.
Okay.
She, you know, you're right. She is getting on my nerves. She's got the big, fat legs on. I didn't notice that.
Oh, my God.
No, not oh, my God. I'm just saying Phil was right when he said...
What did you say about that girl?
I didn't say anything about her looks. I said she eats a lot. Isn't that a concern to you?
Well, it wasn't a concern to me, but I got to look at them.
You got to look at what?
I got to look at the moon.
Can we get everybody on the same page here about whispering on the air?
At her legs, okay? At her legs, at her fat legs. Nothing, baby. Go on. Go back inside. Go take your bouillabaisse. So,
Bouillabaisse, huh?
Yeah, I make it special. So, what I want to say more than anything else, Phil, is you gotta go easy with this guy from the circus. Otherwise, he'll be all over you like one of those monkeys. You know what they can do. Okay, Phil?
I know what a monkey can do, yeah.
All right. Well, you don't want that guy going chimp on you, do you?
What is this guy? Is he human or is he a monkey?
He's a human being.
Okay, no, I'm not worried about him then.
I'm just saying, this guy works closely with the circus.
Does he work? What is he? Does he represent a chimp? Ha ha ha! Doesn't represent a chimp. That's pretty funny.
No, he doesn't represent chimps. I'm just saying, the guy has worked so closely with circuses, he may have some kind of an emotional tie that is abnormal or is unusual.
Oh, okay, so I gotta be careful that a circus agent may just jump me and start peeling my face off. I'll keep that in mind.
Look at Phil, all I'm trying to do is make you happy. I'm trying to keep Daphne happy here. I make her bouillabaisse. It's not good enough. And I'm worried about her legs. And the reason why I'm worried is because she's got them up on the coffee table right now. And that's my mother's coffee table.
What are you afraid of, David?
I'm afraid she's going to break the thing in half because the lamb wants to run.
What's that?
Because her legs weigh too much.
Her legs are not going to break the coffee table, okay?
Well, are you sure?
Yeah, I gotta take a break.
Hey, honey, could you get your legs up?
All right, David G. Hall with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That was interesting.
Well, you know what he's trying to say to you. He's trying to say to you, don't mess up business. Business is important. Or as you people like to say, bidness.
Oh, you people...
You, the undereducated radio types, yes.
Well, you'll never forgive the fact that I only have a high school diploma, will you?
Phil, I'm sorry. Some of us finished college, and some of us have high school diplomas.
And who works for who?
I don't work for... Don't you dare think that I work for you. I am an independent woman. I'm doing this job. It is a subcontracting job. You know what? I'm not even going to answer the question.
Well, you know that you're not allowed to go to the bathroom every time you can't answer a question now. You know that we had that meeting. You're not allowed to say, never mind, and get up and go to the toilet.
Yeah, and you didn't have to say that on the air, did you? Because now I think I'm going to the toilet.
David said no.
David said no, Margaret.
And what if I have to take a dump?
God, that's exactly what he asked.
That's exactly what he said, Miss Gray.
I can't hear you. The door's closed.
What a class act she is. Margaret Gray, hey, what if I have to take a dump?
You heard it.
All right, we're going to have this guy, Bill Swenson. Is that his name? I thought it was Campere. C-A-M-P-E-R-E. That's what I'm reading here.
No, it's Swenson.
That's Swenson. Okay, great. Bill Swenson, circus agent.
So funny.
Nothing, it just sounded funny. It sounded like a really good TV show. I don't mean to be knocking the hard-working people that work in the circus, okay? But I don't like to see animals, and there's an article right here...
Come on, get through it, man.
Hey, don't worry about it, man. I know what I'm doing. There's an article here. Ringling Brothers pulls into town as Worcester considers banning circus animals. Get a load of that. So I'm not the only guy.
Where's that?
Massachusetts, man. And then there was another article about... See, what I do is I put into the search engine anything that I want, and then it gives me all those news releases as they come up. I could put in...
But what, you put in something like I don't know, bowel movement?
Yeah, put that in.
Yeah, what would that do?
I don't know. All right.
Well, come up with bowel movement, wouldn't it?
We're not talking about that right now.
Sorry.
All right, folks, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. This weekend we have our Game of the Week with, I believe, Steve Bozell. Ted Bell still with the asthma condition that may actually inhibit his ability to do play-by-play during the game. Get a backstage pass and love life, man. You get a free download with every new backstage pass that we sign up this month. Plus, I'm planning on a little special something of my own. I want to set up a kind of a email communication with our BSPs one-on-one between me and people that are subscribers and listeners as well. But we'll get into that. We'll talk about it. We'll don't worry about it, man. I'll be all over that like white on rice. You can bet your money on that. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we will be right back. Hey, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We have with us Bill Swenson. Bill is literally the representative of, I should say, a representative, an agent, a representative of a variety of people that work exclusively in live performance, live entertainment, live circus or festival entertainment, as he calls it in his business. And we welcome you on the program. What is that?
Get the name was Warren Benman.
Excuse me for one moment, sir, okay?
Okay.
Excuse me for one moment, folks. What's his name, bud?
Warren Benman.
Yeah, just what I'm saying, Warren Benman.
Then why did it say Bill Campier, Bill Swenson, and now Warren Benman?
I wrote down wrong.
Boy, you are one jackass, bud. You really are. And it's good that Phil likes you, because if it was me as the host of this program, you would hear the creaking of wood, a wind blowing, and your body swinging.
Wow.
Just never, don't worry about it.
Wow.
You do that to me?
That would be my choice, yes. That would be my number one choice. Just
Margaret, that's really cold, okay?
It may be cold, all right. It might be ice cold. You might be able to keep cod on it. But it's how I feel.
That was great.
All right, let me get this Mr. Benman, Warren Benman, back on the line with us now. And forgive me, Mr. Benman, we were having a discussion.
You probably don't understand what I talk about, right?
I've talked to you before, Mr. Benman, and I know that you at one time changed the light bulb.
I've had a very eclectic career, Mr. Benman. There's no question about it.
Yes, sir, you changed the light bulbs on...
No, sir, I didn't change the light bulb. I did maintenance on it, though.
You did a lot of maintenance?
Yeah.
Yes, you did maintenance on broadcast towers.
Yes, sir. One of the things I did do, change a bulb.
And you got injured, correct?
I did, yeah.
And you got injured by falling off of one of these broadcast towers.
Right, but the injury came, of course, in the collision with the beams.
You hit all the beams.
Yes, I understand. You hit a lot of these girders on your way down, and as a result of that...
I'm good, and it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
Oh, it's all good. Okay.
Well, Mr. Henry, I understand the young man had my name wrong, but I'm still representing us circus freaks and everything like that.
Do you represent circus freaks?
No, not literal freak, but I like to use the term.
You use the term circus freaks, why?
Because I think it gets you in the door, and a lot of people want to talk to you.
How long are you doing? You mind if I ask?
Go ahead, Robert.
How well do you do, sir?
How do you do?
No, how well do you do?
How do you do?
Shut up.
Oh, well, I do pretty good. I mean, we've represented for a long time Jerry Ripton, who's one of the top trapeze artists. He swings back and forth on a trapeze, just sitting on it because of the federal regulation. But he sits on a trapeze, and then, of course, Doris... Willingham on the swing set, you know.
All right, if I heard you correctly, sir, you got one guy.
Jerry Willett.
Jerry Willett, who sits on a trapeze, does he do somersaults?
No, sir, and not since the federal regulations on it.
There's federal regulations now, Phil, on safety.
All right, so you're just seeing a guy sitting on a trapeze.
Yes, sir, that's correct. But what we've done is we've been able to take that and we parlayed it, you know. We parlayed. You know what I'm saying by now?
I'm sorry, sir.
No, it's okay. You parlay?
A parlay.
You parlayed what?
Well, we are Doris Willingham now.
Doris Willingham does what?
Well, a swing set.
They bring out a swing set.
So is the trapeze, the whole thing now, like a swing set? Is that...
Well, because of, like I say, the safety.
So going to the circus doesn't sound like a big thrill.
No, it's pretty good, actually, because I've seen it. Look, I fell off the broadcast tower about 250 feet. Okay, so I know all about it. I'd much rather see a swing set.
Well, I don't doubt that you'd much rather see a swing set, having fallen 250 feet, but... The fact of the matter is, the rest of us have never fallen, you know.
Yeah, we don't want to fall 250 feet either.
No, but you just want to see another guy do it, don't you?
No, sir, I don't want to see anybody do it. It's exciting to watch people achieve the things they achieve at such great heights. Did you see this thing?
No, you said Willenda. Yeah, I saw it. You know, don't buy Willenda until I want to throw up.
No, there's no question that the Willendas... I'm having a hard time,
Let me talk to the gentleman here. Hi, Warren, this is Margaret Gray.
Hi, Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great. The Willenda family is very well known for, obviously, the thrill, the high wire. What do you call the artist that you represent again?
I represent the circus artist, what we call a live or a festival artist. And that's a person who works outdoor.
If they work outdoors and everything, well, you'd even do a musician, too, huh?
No, because musicians work indoors, too. Hell, nobody did that.
You don't handle anybody that works indoors?
No, sir.
Well, don't these guys work inside of a tent?
Not the same thing in my mind, you know. Now, I gotta be outside. I must be outside.
You have to be outside. You have some kind of a, what is it?
Is it claustrophobia?
No, it's not claustrophobia. I just don't want to be in a building. When the people are performing, I can sleep in one.
You don't want to be in a building when people are performing, but you can sleep in one.
Mr. Henry, I know I'm a big ugly slob and I look like a freak, but I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world.
Okay, I know that speech from Requiem for a Heavyweight, sir. I understand that. I'm not trying to make you into a freak. I'm just asking you, how is it you are going to be able to make a living as circuses, in my opinion, seem to be under the scrutinizing eye of those of us who are concerned with how they treat animals? What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I think it's important that you treat, but you gotta treat an animal good, okay? But I'm gonna tell you something. I'll tell it to you right now. I'll tell it to your face. You ever traveled? And it's a stupid question, but I probably know the answer. I'll ask you anyway. Have you ever traveled by elephant?
I traveled by elephant once in Thailand, but it was mostly a tourist thing.
No, I've never traveled by elephant.
Okay.
You don't know what you're missing. Is what he said.
Oh, I don't know what I'm missing. Sir, you know...
Well, I'm just saying, that's how a lot of times we got from town to town back in the day.
What do you mean, get from town to town? Don't you guys drive in cars now and fly in airplanes and, you know, this stuff about the circus coming to town?
No, the circus coming to town, that's how it does it, though. You talk about flying airplanes. Are you an idiot or something?
No, I'm not an idiot.
When the circus goes town to town.
Yeah, circus has got to go town to town.
Says who?
Well, that's just the way to do it.
Phil, they've been doing that, Phil, for generations.
Wait a minute. So I can stand out here on a highway someplace.
Well, you gotta know what route they're coming in on.
Well, all right, if I find out the route they're coming in on, I can stand there and watch the circus come to town.
Yes, sir, pretty much so. And I generally come in town on elephant.
And when do I get to see you?
You're probably the last guy coming in, right?
I'm generally the last guy coming in, right?
You're the last guy coming in. So if I see a guy on an elephant in a suit?
No. I got generally shorts, you know, sneakers.
On the...
Well, Mr. Everett, what I'm asking you to consider now, you talk about elephant. We gotta have that.
Well, they want to have the elephant. Look, if they're going from town to town, Phil.
Oh, if they're going from town to town, of course. We must have our elephants. Are you nuts or something?
Mr. Everett, can you hold on for a minute? I got some Lipton soup on the stove.
Yeah, you go right ahead, man. In fact, we gotta take a break anyway. There's a few things that are bothering me about this. Number one, this whole going from town to town thing. I don't know anything about circuses. If that's the way they still go from town to town, like in a caravan or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's just fine and dandy, but that's no way. Are you going to get to use that as an excuse to abuse an animal? Now, this guy Benman says, have you ever traveled by way of elephant? I said, no. And,
we heard him, Phil. You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know what you're missing. That's what he said. What do you think? You traveled by elephant as a tourist.
I think it's relaxing. I think there's some very good things to say. You know, I think there's some...
What is that, man? I think that was one of the elephants. That was an elephant screaming.
Yeah, because Margaret got on it.
Why, you dirty...
Hey! Come on,
Lee. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More with Warren Benman, who is an agent, a circus agent. And his exploits and his excitements and his,
Yeah, but you go by way of elephant.
I know. World famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome back here. Our number 855-500-7445. Bobby Dooley is going to be on with us to talk about the trip that they took, the Western Estates Homeowners Association took to a winery somewhere in Northern California, I think. I'm not sure, but there has been some dispute as to whether it was actually a winery. There was a dispute with some individuals questioning her from beyond the actual realm, the control of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And whenever there's money involved in something, folks, you know that there's going to be a big hubbub. So anyway, getting back here to Warren Benman, who is with us just a few minutes. I'm concerned, Mr. Benman. You are an agent. I know you don't work with any animal acts. Is that right?
Well, no, I don't work with any animal acts per se. You know, but then they had if an animal can exhibit some. For instance, the panda bear. And panda bear, I don't not work. I know no way do I work with a panda bear. But if we had one panda bear. It knew how to wash a car, and I had no choice, you know.
That do what?
What did you say it knew how to do?
Knew how to wash a car, and I had no choice. I had to represent it.
Well, you had to represent. It knew how to wash a car.
Yeah, and was able to turn a hose on. You know, gave a good rub down too.
So you're representing the owner.
Well, you represent the owner, and you represent partially the owner, but the inverse of the panda.
Well, okay, how does that work, man? You know, I don't understand these modern times of... I believe in being kind to animals, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry, if you do believe in being kind to animals, you're going to have to look out financial interests.
It does make a lot of sense from that standpoint.
What does?
Well, if you are in favor of protecting animals and certainly not seeing them the recipients of cruelty, it's not a big leap, I don't think, Phil, to... be concerned for their financial well-being, you know.
Yeah. But Miss Benman, this is Robert.
Yeah, hi, Robert.
Yeah. Would you say, like a trust fund?
Well, you get out of here with a trust fund. What are you talking about, anyway?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the animal is not going to be owned by the same guy.
Well, wait, hold on for a minute, man. Why does an animal need a trust fund? What are you talking about?
Animals, I'm talking about... if it's something really special. That's all I talk about.
Yeah, it's not every animal, but if the animal can wash a car, or what are some of the other things that the animals were able to do?
Well, wait, hold on. Is this animal out washing a car for people's entertainment?
Well, it was a very interesting discussion I had with Jack Kildrafferty, the owner of the animal.
Slow down.
Yeah, I can't understand you.
Sorry. He said, Jack Gilgrafferty said, and...
Who's Jack Gilgrafferty?
That's the guy that owns the panda.
He's the owner.
Well, I'm surprised you call him an owner. I mean, with the panda having these financial rights, so go ahead.
That's very funny, Mr. Enron. Let's talk like adults, okay?
Wait, what do you mean, talk like adults, all right?
Yeah, Mr. Enron, he's trying to talk like an adult. Phil, don't get all quick.
No, that pisses me off, okay? I'm talking like an adult, and you're talking to me about panda bears with trust funds that know how to wash cars.
You know, Mr. Henry, I've been in the circus business a long time, and I've never, but you are the worst of any freak I ever did see.
Well, you know something, pal? If you think that a guy asking you about panda bears with trust funds, washing cars, and having all of these rights is a freaky thing, then I stand guilty as charged.
Okay, God, seriously, elephant man. What a freak.
Don't go all freak on us, Phil. I'm kidding. I think you misunderstand, Phil.
Wait a minute. You know, pal, you can call me a freak if you want to.
Well, let me tell you, some of my best friends are the freaks in the circus. show
in the circus, right?
No, in the circus.
What did he say?
In the circus?
In the circus, with the Turkish circus, you know, but the other one.
Well, did you say that a Turkish circus is called a Turkus?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, and it's also, I think it's also a dress or some kind of headwear, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a band that women wear, or it's a circus.
Okay, and did you know freaks over in the Turkus?
No, I did not. Only in America.
Okay, can we not talk anymore about those poor people? I don't like calling them that.
Well, we don't use them anymore, again, law.
I understand that you don't use them anymore.
Well, when you get old, stuff about band affair. God, what is this?
Yeah, Phil, you gotta either choose sides on this thing.
Look at, man, because I am not in favor of seeing human beings abused in the manner that they were for so many centuries in this country as a form of entertainment, it doesn't necessarily mean that I think panda bears get trust funds because they know how to wash a car. That's an animal that was trained, by the way. That is a wild animal, a panda bear. You understand that?
Phil, are you educating us, or are you talking to Mr. Benman?
He doesn't want to talk to me, because you want to talk to a man got information.
Mr. Benman, I don't mind talking. I'm telling my... Are you disagreeing with me about panda bears?
What about them?
That they are not domesticated, that they're trained.
It depends on panda bear.
No. What are you talking about, man? What do you mean if it depends on the panda? Panda bears are animals.
Are you some kind of animal expert? You talk about it.
Well, I think that we're getting really sidetracked here. The fact of the matter is that panda bears are abused in some circuses.
Absolutely.
And as such, wherever else they work, they certainly are entitled to a significant cost of living increase.
I guess Mr. Henry's not saying anything because I think that's all freaked out.
Yeah, I do. I think it's pretty weird, man.
Well, what's weird about that, Phil?
What? Just the terminology, cost of living increase. We're not talking about negotiating the right, except I guess that's what you do, Mr. Benman. You sit there and talk on behalf of a panda bear and get him his rights.
We're wasting too much time. Let's get into the other interesting stuff.
That's my feeling, exactly.
Hold on, bud, okay? This isn't Kojak, all right? So just slow down a little bit.
I got what I'm going to say.
What do you mean slow down a little bit? There ain't no little bit around here. Yikes!
In any event...
What I was going to say, Mr. Henry, is we are very mindful of the animals and everything.
Well, it doesn't look like that to me, okay? Okay? It just doesn't look that like that to me.
Okay, well, I guess you're the expert, huh?
I may not be an expert, but I will not go to circuses so long as they're... I'm looking at an elephant here. This is a beautiful, magnificent animal. I'm just about sick and tired of seeing these creatures treated this way. I don't give a damn who the guy is that's telling me it's feeling good or whatever it is.
What are you talking about, feeling good?
That he thinks it feels good for the elephant to be walking around and picking kids up with his trunk and eating peanuts for the amusement. I have no idea. And I've seen these poor creatures chained to things. I mean, it makes me sick.
Well, Mr. Henry, you've taught me. You never heard me say that about an elephant in my whole life.
No, but you ride one from town to town.
That's on the turkey come to town. God, man.
Phil, excuse me, Warren. Phil, he gets very tired out. He fell off a broadcast tower.
Yeah, I know he fell off a broadcast tower. Are you all right, Mr. Benman?
Well, I'm trying to get through to you.
Well, I'm going to let you just take a break here, and we'll move on with something else. You can talk to Margaret during the break if you want to. We've got Bobby Dooley standing by.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay, hold on.
I don't think the guy's against an animal being treated bad.
No, he's not against an animal being treated bad, but he's riding one from town to town. What is this riding one from town to... I have never seen a circus on the road going from town to town.
What about when you saw Avalon?
That's a movie.
Yeah, I know what you mean, sir. I've not seen that either.
I've seen circuses set up. I've never been to a circus.
Well, that's part of the problem. You've never been one. You don't know what one is.
I know what a circus is, you jackass. I don't need to go to see one. I know exactly what a circus is. And there's a lot of stuff in a circus that's cool. You know, but the fact is, man, they have animals. I went to a circus in China. That's where I went to one.
Oh, my God. No wonder you feel the way you do. You went to a circus in China? My God, what kind of a circus was that?
I'll tell you what it was. It was a professional circus. It was a Shanghai. And it was in a big theater and, you know.
Well,
I don't know, man.
Hey, let me tell you something, okay? Just because they're commies doesn't mean they don't know how to put on a circus. And probably better at it than most people.
And isn't that the one you told me you walked out of?
I walked out of that circus, yeah. I was just bored. I wanted to get out of there. I was bored to tears.
Yeah, and you're walking down Shanghai, going down an alley in Shanghai. You probably went and get knifed or something.
I thought I would have. You know, I didn't think I would, but it was pretty weird.
Well, tell me, you went down an alley in Shanghai. What has this got to do with a panda bear?
I'm just saying, I went to a circus in Shanghai. I got bored to tears. I walked out of the circus, and I went walking down the streets of Shanghai, and I went down an alley, and it was pitch black, and Bud was saying, weren't you afraid of getting knifed? And I said, no, I wasn't, because I knew I was in a communist country, and if a Chinese guy stabbed an American in those days, it would have meant probably the death penalty. Now, I guess you can do it. Wasn't there an American stabbed to death around the Olympics?
Yeah, just like last summer.
Right. So, was that the Olympics? When did they have the Olympics? I can't remember. But anyway, there was an American that was attacked and killed in China. But back then, when I was there, it was like 30-plus years ago, and the thing that the Chinese were trying to do was... what, Margaret?
Are we going to hear about your experiences in China, or are we going to discuss the panda, or whatever it...
I'm not going to discuss any more about it. I've given my opinion. I've talked to Mr. Benman. He can now go off and do whatever he wants to do. He can go get on the back of an elephant and ride it town to town, for all I care. But the,
Hello, Mr. Benman? Yeah, Mr. Henry's...
Get off the phone, man. Do that somewhere else, okay?
Send me to go tell him.
It's no secret animals are treated, and I don't like it, and I don't make a big thing about this stuff, man. You don't hear me on the show, and today it's day two of our big campaign to free the penguins. Man, I ain't doing that. I say it, you know, maybe I say it a little bit longer some shows than others. Maybe I say it more forcefully in some shows than others. But I don't make a big issue out of it, and then I move on to the next thing. We're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley here in a minute about her problems with going to a winery, you know.
Well, don't minimize a woman's problems, Phil, because you got a thing for riding on an elephant or whatever it is.
I don't have a thing for riding on elephants. You're the one that rode on the elephant.
Yeah, you did, Miss Gray. You rode on an elephant and everything. Did you do it bareback?
How dare you
Hey!
No, there's some things that he's fair game. He asked me if I rode an elephant bareback. He knows what that means.
Well, you know what? You don't have to let everybody else know, okay? That's a private matter.
You know...
Proud of yourself, aren't you? You influenced these two to laugh at those things.
Oh, give it a rest. Were you bareback?
I was on an Indian rug.
All right, so anyway, I don't even know if riding an elephant bareback is that big of a thrill.
Phil, are you really talking about this?
Hold on. So, yeah, my feeling is, the zoos, all that stuff, I hate them. I hate them like poison. I'm Phil Hendry. Thank you so very deeply. Now... Bobby Dooley is next. We'll be discussing the ill-fated winery trip. What happened when they were supposed to go to the winery and they wound up at some place that might even be a made-up winery? I don't know. That's what, you know.
What does that mean, made-up winery?
I don't know. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, y'all. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our backstage pass feature at our website, philhendryshow.com, gives you the opportunity to watch us in action here. We do our show, you know, on videocast as well as doing it for our, you know, radio friends. We do an audio podcast, and we do as well a videocast that is stored in our archives. We also have a daily classic podcast that is pulled from the archives of our show. We have our news feed and our news features, and it's a pretty good deal for, 5,000 hours of downloadable audio. And all you do is go to our website and check out the backstage section there, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, a lot of people may...
No, a lot of people may not be worried about that, okay?
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I think backstage means backstage to some people. What is it with you guys?
Well, Phil, the friend you've got on...
You mean Bobby Dooley?
Wasn't she the one that started this whole thing?
No, she didn't do that. She said talk about liquid butter.
Hey, man. We'll get Bobby Dooley here on the line in just a moment. But remember, it's philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your needs. And we're on Twitter, too, at twitter.com/realphilhendry. And we are on Facebook at twitter.com/... Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS, that's PHANS. S. So join us over there. Bobby Dooley with us from the Western States Homeowners Association. A lot of stuff happening with you, Bobby. Your podcast is going to be gearing up again, and you'll be doing a daily, correct?
Yes, Phil, that's correct. And Margaret has agreed very graciously to fill in for me when I am on vacation, or Steve and I are taking the boys to Lochner's Lagoon. You know, we have, Buckner's Lagoon.
You have the home there on the lagoon?
Yes, we do.
Now, I knew that you had been over at Calhoun Lake or Buckner Lake.
We were at Lake Calhoun, and now we're at Buckner Lagoon.
Buckner Lagoon, is that in California?
Yes, I think so.
Well, Phil, they're not going to travel to another state for the weekend.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. So this is a home you have?
It is a home that we have in the summer, but... And we are thinking of... And, of course, we enjoy Christmas at Buckner Lagoon.
Is there snow, and the kids can do the traditional things?
No, not really. It's very warm. It's very close to sea level, if not below sea level, so... it's almost humid and tropic on Christmas Day.
What do you say it's humid on Christmas Day?
That's what I just said. I don't...
She doesn't stutter.
Yeah, I don't stutter.
All right, we know you don't stutter, Ms. Dooley. Excuse me, Margaret. Let me handle this if you don't mind.
Well, why did you ask that question?
I think everyone traditionally considers going to the mountains, but I guess this is in the mountains.
No, it is not. The Buckner Lagoon, Phil, is in a depression... in the California desert that is below sea level.
Is it Death Valley?
No. Yeah, that's two you've gotten wrong. Do you want to go for three?
Phil, why don't you just let her explain?
All right, well, but you know, I'm the host of the show, Ms. Dooley, so I got to figure out the questions to ask. You're telling me that at Christmas time, you don't go to a lake, you go to a lagoon.
Yes, Buckner Lagoon.
Buckner Lagoon. And when you go to the lagoon, you don't have snow falling. It's humid, hot, and sticky.
Yeah, just in time for Christmas.
Are you being a smartass?
Yeah, see, that's the thing I don't like.
No, he's not being a smartass. Do you go to this lagoon for Christmas?
I think it is traditional, yes.
It's traditional to take time off at Christmas time. There's no question about it.
Phil, we live in California. Where are you going to drive to get to the snow for Christmas time? Most people stay at home. And when they stay at home, here's a newsflash for you. It's dry and it's sunny and there's no snow anywhere.
I understand that. I totally get that. But if you're going to make the trek to a vacation spot, I must have misunderstood.
Bingo, there you go. Bobby, he finally is copping to it.
Yeah, if you misunderstood, you misunderstood.
I misunderstood that you don't go to a lake, you go to a lagoon. It's not snowing there. It's hot, sticky, and muggy. And you're below sea level, but you're not at Death Valley. You're at some other depression in the California desert.
Yes, and it's going to be doubly depressing thinking about this interview that I did with you. Steve and I will travel there with the boys.
Look, Miss Dooley...
No, we'll travel there with the boys, and we'll go below sea level, and I'll be even lower than whale you-know-what, thinking about the interview that I did with you.
She'll be lower than a whale. You know what whales do.
Yeah, I do. That's very interesting.
Get a load of him.
Hey, remember who you're working with.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Daddy gets angry, so I'm gonna take a lock here, Bobby, and listen to the interview.
Okay. So anyway, Phil.
Yeah, we got about 6 minutes left in the hour for this. Can we hold her over?
Yeah, you have to hold her over now on account of she took too long talking about stuff.
I didn't take too long talking about stuff, thank you very much. It was Mr. Henry asking me about Buckner Lagoon.
I've never heard of Buckner Lagoon. I mean,
What did you say?
I'm sorry, I've never heard of Buckner Lagoon.
Are you having a hard time breathing?
At that moment, yes, I was having a hard time breathing because I was saying Buckner Lagoon. I've never heard of Buckner Lagoon, and I've certainly never heard of any place in the California desert that's below sea level that isn't Death Valley. So I give it to you. You have some things to teach me about this. But we're really not here to talk about you taking a vacation. Yes, Margaret, I know.
Because I'm filling in for her.
I understand that.
Yeah, Margaret will be filling in for me, starting on Christmas week.
That's going to be great. And you will be starting your Bobby Dooley podcasts when?
Our first daily podcast will be this Monday.
So it's going to be fantastic, you guys. And will you still be interviewing celebrities?
We'll be interviewing celebrities a couple times a week, Phil, but most of it will just be my reflections on being a mother, on being the president of a homeowners association, on being a wife, on being a fitness freak, a fitness addict, on being a wine connoisseur, on being an interior decorator, on being a...
All right, now, I just want to tell you...
Hold on, I'm not done yet.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on, I'm not done yet. On being a female, I do want to get into automobile racing at some time, not now. But my interest in auto sports and motorsports has always been very, very notorious. Everyone that knows me. I am also... Excuse me for a minute. I've got gas.
Hold on for just a second, Bobby, while we take our break, and we'll get back with you.
I think she's doing really well. You know, I had a big problem with her, but I think she's doing well. She's asserting herself. I love it.
Yeah, I like it too, but I don't like the fact that you gang up on me with her. Now, hold on for a minute. It's not because I'm sensitive or anything. It's because we need to have a little bit of consistency here. We got to know why. Where are all the bodies buried around here? Are you on my team or are you on her team? The audience would like to know, don't you think? Don't you think the audience would like to know?
About where the bodies are buried.
You know, what are you going to be?
You shut up, bud. Yes, I understand that, Phil. I'm not saying that I don't. I like her. I think she's cute. I think she will add a lot with a daily podcast. There, sue me.
All right, thank you. No, I don't want to sue you. I just wanted to get that clear. You listen to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. This month, you get a free download, man, if you go out and get a backstage pass at our website. And also on the Sunday, of course, we have for yous all the game of the week. Ted Bell with that asthma attack may not be back in the booth, but I'll tell you what, Steve Bozell will be. On the other side of the break, we'll see you with Bobby Dooley. Phil Henry Show.
Woo!
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley standing by. We will talk with her in just a moment here about some contretemps happening there. They closed down their... What happened?
They did not have...
I'll do it, thank you. They have the Circle of Taste membership inner chamber. They have stopped for now... Apparently, they've stopped for now of the membership sign-ups because they went off on a fact-finding tour to one of these, I don't know what you call it, winery. It's not a winery. Yes, it is a winery.
Where they have wine?
Yes, where they have wine. Yes, I know what they have there, Phil.
Yeah, they got grapes there. That's the difference.
Thank you, bud. That is the difference. They have wine, but they have grapes as well.
Okay, they have wine and grapes. I mean...
Phil, what is it with you trying to give me a hard time?
Look at Margaret, if you're telling me about a winery, yeah, they're going to have grapes and wine. Okay? I would think you, of all people, would know.
I do know, but I wanted to know what the name of this toilet... the name of the place that she went to was.
Easy, okay? Apparently, well, we might as well get her on the line right now. There are a couple of comments that I wanted to make. Lots of radio news today. Andrea, what's her name? Tartaros or something?
Andrea Tartano, I forget.
I don't know how to pronounce her name. Do you know, Robert?
Andrea Torno.
Torno.
No, it ain't Andrea Torno. She's on the 5, and she's on the 4, and 3, 2, 1, blast off. No, I don't know. She's on Fox, but she's doing a talk show on the radio. And it made the news today that my old company, TRN, she's suing them. And she's suing them for specific things which I think are in the body of this document. Now, I've had my dealings with this company. I was with this company for 6 years. They were not happy years, and they were years that, quite frankly, I wish that I didn't have to be with them, but contractually I was committed to it. So there's an awful lot that she put into her lawsuit that I completely recognize, you know.
Such as?
I'm not going to get into it, okay? All I'm going to say to you, Miss... excuse me...
You know, Phil, that's awfully rude. Find out what her name is.
Excuse me, but that's what I asked you guys to do. Andrea Toronto.
Toronto.
It ain't Toronto. She's very talented. She is on television, which is, I think, mostly what she's known for, her television appearances.
I would say that, yes, she is.
By the way, what is her name?
I don't know.
This is the first news story I've covered for a long, long, long spell where we don't know. We're very interested in who you are. We only know your first name.
Well, you know.
No, not well, you know nothing.
Now, I'm talking about George Washington, only know George.
What?
Yeah, that's a good point. That'd be like if we're talking about George Washington, we only know this guy, George. He was the first president. Well, let's just call him George. And, Andrea Tornono. So you're just making up any name, huh?
Well, yeah, you gotta say something. Gotta say something, man. You know, I mean, why do we do this? You gotta do something.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Buzz. So anyway, yeah, I recognized a lot of stuff in that lawsuit.
Well, and you can't say anything.
No, I can't. I'm not going to. But one of many problems with this company that I had been with, and they handled my radio show, if you can call it handling it. Yeah, they handled it all right. Same way you may handle a fresh cow patty.
Just lift it up with a towel. Damn, and throw it away.
Yeah, you might say they lifted my show up with a towel and threw it away. In any event, so, you know, and this is my opinion, and I think I'm entitled to it. See, the thing about this company, they're just very weird people. You know how Scientologists are, you know how some people are afraid of talking about Scientology for fear of being, what do they call it?
Well, they get bum-rushed and they get bullied and that kind of thing.
Yeah. They're, you know, the same thing with these guys. You know, you're worried because they got a lawsuit going against Dow Global. They got a lawsuit going against I've read at least two lawsuits that they got going themselves. Now they're being sued by this host, this lady I was talking about. I think there's another possibility of a lawsuit going on. I mean, it's just one big lawsuit world, man. When we ought to be out there making money, going out kicking ass. Go out and do the job, man, you know. Yeah, remember when those guys didn't do the right thing? I got a job, man. I've got a job.
Yeah, but I'm saying go get a job.
But he said he had a job.
Yeah, but get a better job.
Okay, better. Yeah, well, he didn't like the job he had, so.
What are you talking about, Sonny?
I don't know what the guy's name was. It was one of the two guys that was, you know, Sal's kids, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But in any event, you know, in this day and age with the economy the way it is, let's go out and just kick some ass and do the job. This thing is suing each other. We got an industry, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Our industry, the radio industry, as I've said, and is corroborated everywhere. So don't even start with me. You know, the only thing that the radio business really hates it when you bring up business because it's embarrassing. And but it's got to be talked about. And the radio business is doing very, very poorly. Now, you would think with an industry that is getting its ass handed to it left and right, day and night, it would find some way to pull itself together, pull everybody together into the same room, sit down, you know, like one of those old crime commission movies we used to see with the criminals from all of the cities. Now, we got to get together, okay? Bumping each other off is not what we do, you know?
Oh, I love those movies. You mean like with the
Yeah.
Hold on, I'll do it, bud. Like when they had the.
Yeah, like Kansas City, the Kansas City one.
Yes, they'd have Kansas City, and they had...
You know, the guys from across the country.
Yeah, but like Kansas City.
Well, it doesn't matter what cities it was. It was the five families of New York and whoever the hell else.
Well, like who?
I don't know, man. Whoever those cities... What were those cities, bud?
Yeah, I was saying Kansas City.
Well, that ain't the only one.
But they had like Milwaukee.
Yeah, there you go. Milwaukee, Kansas City... Wasn't it Chicago?
No, that was the outfit. The outfit, no, not the outfit.
Why not the outfit?
Well, it was the outfit.
Yeah, you can call it, no, like it wasn't more banana family or nothing.
It ain't the banana family. And, you know, if you do that joke one more time.
You don't know. You really don't know.
What's it called?
Banano. What do you mean it can't be the outfit?
It didn't have the name.
You can't have, like, ain't they supposed to call it like a Capone family?
I don't know. Isn't what are you telling me that the Chicago outfit? That's not a mafia. Of course, it's the mafia.
I don't know. They can't call it the outfit.
What do they get? The Bananos and the Mangalinis and the Joe Manginis. I don't know what their names are. And then the outfit.
The thing with the Chicago mafia, from what I've read, was that Al Capone, who was indeed of Italian descent, Sicilian, he worked with all kinds of different ethnicities. I just had a diet drink brought to me. Thanks, Susie.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Susie, very much. She's a darling.
She is. She's very nice.
Are we getting Bobby Dooley on the line? Are we going to... What is this all of a sudden? Gangland with Jerry Capucu or whatever his name is?
But don't have some disrespect. Jerry Capucci. Jerry's a great guy. He does a great column called Gangland. He has a website. Super guy. Really smart. Has fantastic information. And but we're not going to talk to him. We have Bobby Dooley instead. And we are very, very happy to talk with you, Bobby. I'm awfully sorry.
That's quite all right, Phil. One of the things that the Italian families do, and by extension, one of the things that the Italian, one would think the gangsters do, it's not that big of a piece of information, but they do...
They drink wine.
They do drink wine, and we went to a wonderful winery, La Stignano. I would have to find the exact spelling of it. But we went to La Pignogno Los Fuculu, and...
Now, where is this?
Well, this... Before I tell you where... It's in Alexander Valley, which is in Northern California. But I really didn't want to tell you that information. I wanted for you to understand what we're up against here with some of these homeowners, Phil. We felt it was very rude, if not downright subversive, to question... whether or not I had actually been with members of our Circle of Taste membership inner chamber to this beautiful, beautiful place. Now, I have the name here. I don't know if...
I just found it, darling. Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Phil and everybody listening. It's called... And the picture here is lovely, by the way. It's really lovely.
Thank you.
It is...
Well, hold on. That's a picture of an orange grove.
But it's a lovely picture approximating what the winery looks like, right?
Yeah, I looked for a picture that would approximate what it would look like.
Why didn't you just take a picture of the winery?
Well, Phil, the reason I didn't take a picture of...
Yeah, it's not my wife, Mr.
Dooley. Mr. Dooley, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm fine.
And I know I'm talking to your wife, and I'm not being rude to her. She was the one that was just being... rude to me, I think.
What'd she do?
She's mocking me. I'm asking her, why didn't she take a picture of this winery?
I didn't, Steve.
She did take pictures. They didn't allow it because it's too beautiful to be seen.
They don't allow pictures, and so I asked them why, and they said if we did, we'd have everyone here, and it would just it would lose its exclusivity. Okay. So that's why they didn't allow it, and I'm trying to explain that, and I'm having a very difficult time breathing because the most extraordinary thing, my husband came in, Steve, sit down, my husband came in wearing mariachi pants, and they are so sexy.
Oh my God, I love those.
Yes, and I lost my breath.
That's all right, honey.
Wait a minute, you're having a hard time breathing because your husband's wearing mariachi pants?
I really wish that you wouldn't mock it, Mr. Hendry.
Phil?
All right, I mean, am I not asking a question that is...
Mr. Henry's asking a question.
I know, but you're doing it for the comedic effect. I can hear it.
All right. Ms. Dooley, I apologize. I didn't mean to. Are you having a difficult time breathing?
I was. I'm all right now. Steve, just rub my shoulders, will you?
All right, babe.
Okay. And the reason why you were having a difficult breathing is, is your husband looked very attractive?
I would say so, yes.
All right. Let me take another break here. Margaret, you can see the time, so I'm not blowing anybody off. Look at me having to explain to people, because everybody's got such sensitive feelings about everything.
I didn't say anything, Phil.
Well, but I could tell you were. We're running late, and so we'll get back to Ms. Dooley and more on this very interesting situation vis-a-vis her homeowners association, a visit to a website that some people think, a visit to a winery, I should say, that some people think doesn't exist, and in point of fact, they went somewhere else so that they could get their kicks on, if you will, the company dime. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here this Friday night. So what y'all got doing on the weekend? We got some football happening?
I don't watch the football, no.
All right, well, we will have some on Sunday. It is our game of the week. Ted Bell and... What am I trying to say here?
Can't be me and Steve Bozell.
That's right, Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell filling in for Ted Bell, who took ill with asthma last week. And we'll get an update on that when we talk to Stephen Bozell. Chud, I called this by you.
That's exactly right, Phil. You're lowering the... what have you got there? Give me that.
Don't take my iPhone from me.
I'm looking at it. Let's see. Chud, 1984 American horror film produced by Barney... Yes, this is exactly what it is. Here.
Thank you very much. Apparently it's a horror movie having to do with some subterranean... It's cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller. That's me, huh?
I didn't say that was you. I said that's the level. The level that you are sinking this program to. The level of a cannibalistic... I can't read the... What is it, a humanoid? It's... You live down there. What was the... Bobby, honey... Is Bobby... Bobby Dooley, are you there? This is Margaret.
Yes, I'm here.
What was the film your boys were telling you about that they'd watched that they loved so much that had the one-eyed...
Oh, The Morlock. The Morlock. They said, Mom, rather than call someone a moron, can't we call them a Morlock? And I said, well, what's that? And they said it was the movie that they would... that they were seeing. And I said, well, what's it called? And they said, it's called The Tunnel. Is that it?
No, it's called The Time Machine.
Well, how do you know?
Yeah, how do you know?
Because the Morlock was a creature from the novel by H.G. Wells called The Time Machine.
Well, Phil, here you go, starting. Are you talking about a book movie? Because the book movies... You are so removed, I think, from popular taste.
Oh, a book movie? Is that what you guys are calling it?
Phil, a book movie is a movie that's made from a book. We're talking about a fun movie, all right?
This is a fun movie. It was the time to... It was the...
It's called a time machine. It's pretty bitchin', although I never did seen H.G. Wells. Who is he?
He's the writer of the book that the movie was based on. I never saw H.G. Wells.
Was that a movie?
No, it was a writer. Was that a movie? You guys are really...
Well, this is where you start to get all, oh, look at me, I read books.
Is there something wrong with reading books? Margaret, you're a writer.
There's nothing wrong with reading books, Phil. But when you read a book, read a book. When you go to a movie, don't come out of the movie and go, oh, I read the book, oh, I read the book, woo-woo, woo-woo.
Yeah, don't do that. If my sons had done that, I would have felt very... I think I would have felt very inferior. It would have felt as if they were trying to make me feel lesser than I am. And you can imagine, Margaret, of being a mother. Phil, you're not a parent, so you don't even know.
Don't say that. I helped raise 4 children, okay? I was a stepdad, so don't tell me I don't know what it is to be a parent. I know what it is to be a guardian. I know what it is to...
All right, Phil, please don't give the speech again about step-parents.
No, Miss Dooley, that's very rude to interrupt me.
Phil, she's trying to explain something.
I'm trying to explain... that when your sons say to you, oh, Mom, that was a book, then I feel very put down and stepped on and everything like that. Thank God that they didn't say that it was.
Were they aware that that was made from a book?
No, they weren't.
I don't know how old the kids are. I mean, I know that Dylan is approaching college age. Did he not know?
No, just because Dylan's a senior in high school, Phil, doesn't mean that he's written... any of the...
Not written. Has he read them?
I mean read any of G. Wells or Don Wells. I don't know.
Don Wells, that's a good one.
But, you know, Phil is pressing this point.
H.G. I gotta tell you, I won't press the point. I'm sorry. I apologize. I really am. I apologize. Just that H.G. Wells, I would have thought maybe, you know...
Well, are you putting down our high school here, Phil?
I will say, no, I'm not putting your high school down. I'm just saying, every high school should, at some point, expose their students to H.G. Wells. I mean, any of the major writers of the world. And he was one of the major writers the last 100 years.
Well, was he as big as, who's the other man?
Ernest Hemingway.
Every bit as big as Ernest Hemingway. Every bit as big.
Are you putting me on?
Oh, no, I'm not putting you on. He was big in his country. Ernest Hemingway was big in America. Both men were very big internationally. H.G. Wells was huge both in America and in... he was huge both in his home country of Great Britain and the United States. I'd say every bit as big, and probably, in his own way, H.G. Wells far more influential. So, you know...
I think that's a load.
Well, all right. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Well, you know, Phil, when you're talking, I just do. I just think it's a load. I think it's a load, and people like Margaret and I are the ones that have got to scrub the skid...
Yeah, you're not stirring the skid marks.
Why don't you shut up?
Are you there?
I'm here. You know what? Let's forget all about it and let's talk about your trip to wherever the hell, you know, what the hell, the fancy farm that you went to? Or
the fancy farm?
Yeah, have a little bit of respect.
Where did you go?
We went to a winery, Phil, and this winery is located in Northern California. Now, I know who you're talking about. Jim Brewer and his wife, Don Shuttle Brewer. There was another couple, the Kale family, Dennis and Cynthia McDonough Kale.
Are these, when you say McDonough Kale, that's her maiden name, right?
Yes.
Phil, don't make an issue out of it. Every woman today has a hyphenated name.
Why don't you?
Because I don't need it. Women that are not prominently known, such as my, the women that she's talking about, need to have a hyphenated name. So it gives them what, Bobby?
It gives them a little bit of a sense of notoriety.
But because you two women are more well known, you don't need a hyphenated name.
Bingo.
Yeah, bingo.
Give the man a cigar.
Here, Phil.
I don't want a white owl, thank you.
Oh, well, excuse me. A Cohiba do?
I don't smoke cigars.
Why not?
I don't smoke cigars.
Why? Because Freud said they're a phallic symbol?
Freud never said they were a phallic symbol. Freud said sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Yes, but he was talking about phallic symbols.
Freud might have been Oh, well, here we are talking about Freud. You didn't want to talk about H.G. Wells a few minutes ago.
No, but I do want to talk about Freud because he talks about...
Because he talks about sex.
Yes.
Great. And as long as we're on the subject of phallic symbols, well, it might be right up your alley, huh?
You go to hell.
Phil, that was uncalled for.
You know, I'm getting really tired of this. I'm getting tired of not having control over my own show.
You gotta take control, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you take control.
Well, I don't care what those two... That was uncalled for.
I'm not going to sit and listen to you guys take this show straight into hell anymore. I wanted to talk to her about this winery. I got into H.G. Wells. We're down to now phallic symbols and cigars. And still I don't have any answer to this, the $64,000 question, which is this place that she went to with her, whatever the hell this group of people is, this, what is it called?
It's called the Circle of Taste.
The Circle of Taste, whatever the hell that is, whatever it represents, you know, I don't know what that may be, but she was supposed to go to some winery with these people, and turn that off, bud.
I like it.
I don't care if you like it. Turn it off. In any event, she was supposed to go to some winery with these people, and there has been some questions to whether they actually went to a winery or someplace else. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Woo! Boy, isn't that mysterious.
World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you, Bobby Dooley, for being with us this evening. Bobby on the line from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Margaret Gray in studio with us as we discuss, or try to discuss, or will eventually discuss. I understand. Yeah, you know, I'll take it upon myself. We've gotten sidetracked. That's fine. But from this point forward, you have to allow me to run this show, if you don't mind.
That is absolutely fine, Phil.
Thank you. By the way, Ms. Dooley, and this is not getting sidetracked because Ms. Dooley had posted on her Facebook fan page last night that you were critiquing my intake of Diet Pepsi.
I had seen you drinking a lot of Diet Pepsi, Phil.
Yeah, a lot of us have noticed.
And
a lot of you have noticed.
Yeah.
And so I felt that, and I think Margaret had said to me, you know, Phil's drinking a lot of Diet Pepsi, and I did, so I said that you are swilling it. I think I used the word, I think you're slopping it down. You look like you're just slopping it down like you're kneeling at a pond in the middle of a Serengeti somewhere, you know.
Yes, it does look that way, Phil.
Slopping it down, okay.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry, but it's going to kill you. It's very bad for you.
I understand. I sometimes need the caffeine, but it was in that post that you said chud.
Well, I'm saying that you, as you slop and swill this filth down...
You're talking about a product here. You know, maybe I've got an opportunity to get them as a sponsor.
Oh, fat chance. Are you talking about Diet Pepsi?
Yeah.
Fat chance.
Someday, you watch me, Diet Pepsi will sponsor this show.
Okay, Phil, whatever fantasy, but the point that I'm making for now... You're slopping it down like a...
Like a what?
It's not healthy, and so that's why I said you are slowly, I think you're slowly devolving to the level of chud. Yes, the cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller.
And that's what we meant by Chud.
And, folks, I want to make a note. They both have serious, straight looks on their faces.
Why wouldn't I?
Oh, get out of here, Chud. A B-movie from 1984, a cornball sci-fi, you know, so bad it's good, I guess. It's real crud, bud. You've seen it.
I've seen them all.
What'd you think of Chud?
That was fine. There is a pretty good scene where a guy gets, you know, his head ripped off and everything.
Well, I've never seen it. I just think it's an interesting concept.
What, are you nuts or something?
Excuse me.
We're talking, Phil, about the possibility. Only the possibility that there are underground. I know you think we're getting sidetracked. Okay, fine. But I shudder to think, Phil, if someday, and it may never happen, but someday, something comes up out of a sewer system. And may God help us all.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, okay, fine. I hope you're the first... I really hope you're the first home in attack.
What's so funny?
Are you kidding? I really hope it's the first... Anyway, folks,
Are you kidding? Steve, you gotta listen to this guy on the radio that's interviewing me.
Let me talk turkey with you, huh?
Yeah, okay, Steve. Talk turkey with me.
All right. All I'm gonna tell you is, my wife come in here, and she's panning because on account of the pants I was wearing.
Okay, I want people to know something.
Phil, you're gonna get sidetracked.
No. I would never not allow Steve your moment in the sun, because last half hour.
All right, okay. You want to make an ass out?
Don't, Phil, if you tell the audience what happened, I'd be happy to do it.
No, I'll do it. Bobby was on the air with me last half hour when we were beginning our discussion, and she was out of breath. And I asked her, are you okay? Are you hyperventilating? And she suddenly tells me that she's lost her breath, or she's having shortness of breath because her husband has walked in.
He's laughing, isn't he?
He's stifling a laugh, yeah.
Okay, I'll take over.
No, you're not taking over. I'm going to.
Let me just...
No, I'm going to say it. Her husband, Steve, walked in wearing mariachi pants. And,
He's laughing. Good night, Mr. Henry. Thank you very much. Our attorney will be in touch.
Well, Phil, you get what you pay for.
Isn't that the truth? When I bring them on the show, you better believe it.
What happened?
You were sitting here, don't you remember?
No.
I'll do it.
She comes on the air here, and she's talking about her husband just walked in the room, and... Ms. Dooley, if you hang up on me...
My husband came into the room looking like a man. And God knows we've got so few of those.
Ms. Dooley, your husband came into the room wearing mariachi pants. Okay, is that right?
My attorney is Roy Boyd Fletcher.
Ms. Dooley, you're going to keep hanging up, and I'm going to keep answering. At some point, I'm not going to answer.
Go ahead.
All right, well, let me just say, I came in, I had on mariachi pants.
That's what I've been telling people, Mr. Dooley. You had on mariachi pants.
But they fit tight, and they look sleek and good.
That's great, man. I'm sure they do. Oh, okay, there they go. Yep, I knew it.
Well, at least she didn't say that her attorney would be in touch.
Well, I probably should understand that by now, that her attorney will be in touch as soon as we're open for business. So anyway, Bobby lost, I don't know why you guys are all... What's with the straight faces around here? You cats all lost your sense of humor or something?
I don't know, man. I mean, there are a lot of people, very powerful people.
Let me tell you who the most powerful people is, okay? Me. I is.
You did that on purpose.
Yep, that's right. I'm the most powerful people that you know, right here in this room. Ain't nobody gonna mess with me or this show, okay? Do you understand? And Dooley comes on here. Are you trying to tell me, with a straight face? Yes, you are. Because,
What?
Well, you are. You're trying to tell me with a straight face that I'm not allowed to laugh when Dooley tells me that she's out of breath because her husband...
Woo! Man!
Phil, you don't know what it is to be a woman. I remember when I first met Frank.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go. That's right. Here we go. When I first met Frank... I can tell you that I really had my breath taken away. Frank was in a restaurant. He had come out from, I think it was the kitchen area, wearing flamenco pants. Hello?
Yeah.
You don't believe me?
How old was he?
He was 43. Oh, I see. Okay, so a guy...
Why was he wearing flamenco pants?
He was wearing flamenco pants. You know, I don't even know why I'm wasting my breath.
No, you gotta tell us, Miss Dooley. You can't just go away.
Yeah, you gotta tell us now.
He just called me Miss Dooley.
I'm sorry, Miss Gray.
He was wearing flamenco pants because there'd been a fire at their home, and his first wife, Shirlene, had not gotten all of the clothes to the dry cleaners that they wanted to get to the dry cleaners. And apparently, the fire swept through Frank's wardrobe.
And all he had left were these flamenco pants.
Get the smile off your face, please.
It's off.
Yes, all he had were flamenco pants and the tap shoes that go with them. And he had a big, bright Hawaiian shirt to go with it. And that's what he wore into Nick's Fish Market that night, when I first saw him.
Nick's Fish Market in Hollywood?
No, Phil, in Durango, Texas. Yes, in Hollywood, for God's sake.
Well, I don't know if Nick's Fish Market probably died down Long Beach or something.
No, it was a very upscale restaurant at one time. I don't know where it is now.
And Frank went into the next fish market wearing flamenco pants.
Thank you very much.
Well, here she goes, man. Doesn't matter. David can tell her she's got to stay here. Doesn't make any difference. You see, you have to understand something.
You wish a woman loves you as much as I love Frank.
Yeah, I do. You're right. You're right, I do.
That's a cold shot, Mr. Henry. She never should have said that.
No, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine.
You'll never have a woman love you the way I love Frank.
I don't care, Margaret. I'll do the best I can with what I got in this world.
Would you put on flamenco pants?
Are you going to yell at me from the bathroom, or are you going to come in here and talk?
Fine. Would you put on flamenco pants?
To impress a woman?
Yes, to impress a woman, yes.
No, not if I didn't know her well. If she was my wife, if she was a longtime friend, if she was a longtime lover, if she was a pal or, you know, or more, yeah, I'd put on flamenco pants. I would not put on flamenco pants and walk into a restaurant because there's a chick there that I want to impress. That's the last thing I'd do.
What about mariachi?
What about the mariachi slacks?
Mariachi slacks? No.
You don't know nothing. I mean anything.
Yeah. Okay, folks, there you go. Bobby is hung up on me, so we never will get the real story behind the whole trip up there to that. We'll try to get somebody else on the line who knows something about it. All I know is that we got email from members of our homeowners association who say that the money is being misappropriated, that there was no money spent on any, quote, fact-finding trip to a winery, that in point of fact, they went somewhere else and did something else, probably sat at some Greek restaurant somewhere, swilled down the Greek wine, watched them dance and throw the glasses, fell in love with a bunch of guys in flamenco pants. I don't know. You know, what?
Let's do it.
I'm not taking her call right now. She can put her on hold. So we'll see what transpires from all of that. We're online at philhenryshow.com as well. So pick up a backstage pass and watch the old show, man, as we do it for you every night online. PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. All right, welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. And, of course, online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, the live streaming video of the show, as well as our podcast, as well as our online store, as well as 5,000 hours of audio, as well as the new world, baby. The new world, the new horizon. It's a whole new thing, man. Whole new thing, whole new on-demand kind of a thing, you know. So I would dare say that a lot of the people listening to us right now, and, of course, if they're listening right now, they're listening live. But at some point when they hear me saying this, they will be listening on demand as well, you know.
It is a changing world. It really is. But the world has not changed so much that you laugh at a woman when she shows love and, yes, even passion for a man in mariachi pants.
Yeah, okay, are we back on that?
Yes, we are back on that because I think there is an apology owed.
Well, I know that whoever it is, what is the guy?
It's Steve Dooley. He's going to be on the line here in a minute or something.
Steve Dooley is on the line from the Russian River. I thought that he was... Are you with your wife, Mr. Dooley, or...
I was telling my wife that I'm actually on the Russian River.
Well, how far... Where is your wife?
My wife's website estate, Western Estates.
Why did you say Webfoot Estates?
I'm just nervous.
All right, I understand that you're nervous, sir.
So, Steve, just so Phil understands, you're not trying to lord it over him or otherwise be a, someone who's controlling the conversation. You just want him to know about how much you love your wife.
I love my wife very much, and I don't want to do it.
Well, why did she say, rub my shoulders if you're at the Russian River?
I'm just that cute. Thought it'd be something that I could do.
Even though you're not in the same house?
I don't know.
And why have you called?
I want to set the record straight about it when I came in wearing the pants.
All right, fine, sir. I don't think there's a record that needs to be set straight. I think that it's understood that you were wearing mariachi pants and that Bobby found that to be very exciting. The only thing that I was talking about, Steve, is that I thought it was a little amusing.
Well, that's part of kind of hurt my feelings and everything. I put on a mariachi pants because Bobby liked it, you know, and...
No, I understand she likes it.
Right. And a lot of times I've done that. If I'm out working and I want to go and do a special job for somebody, I'll put on a pair of Peter Pan outfit.
Why did you say Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Why a Peter Pan outfit?
It's a costume and somewhere and things attractive.
So you're a landscaper, right?
Yes, he's a landscaper.
Hold on, I'll do it.
Oh, well, okay, but I'm trying to... Steve, he says he's nervous.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm sorry, what?
He's a landscaper who gets into costume because some of the women that are his clients...
A lot of women like it. They think it looks hot.
All right, so this wearing of the mariachi pants came from that?
Yeah, and then I walked in. I came in from work one night. Bobby saw me wearing a mariachi pant. She was very... excited by it, and ever since then, not tonight, that's what happened.
All right. I apologize for laughing, and I commend you on your entrepreneurial effort there. That's has that given you a lot of business?
Well, I think clients, they like it and everything.
What kind of... So you wear mariachi pants, so this is you doing landscaping?
Yes, sir.
And you have a crew that helps you, right?
Oh, yeah, I do, but I don't not tell them, unless the children want it. We've had a couple of requests. Children want to see us dressed in gopher suits. And we found a wardrobe company, a costume company.
Hold on, what was that again?
Gopher suits. Gopher costumes?
Yeah, gopher costume.
So how many guys work for you?
I've got 3 helpers. One of them's my project manager. And so all told, most of them have about 5 guys on crew.
All right, so you got 5 guys on the crew landscaping a house, and you guys were dressed in gopher suits.
Yes, sir. Tell the kids to look outside and feel reassured. They see 5 big gophers. And now I know it sounds funny, but the kids will feel reassured that the gophers, they see gophers out there on the job.
The kids are reassured?
Yeah, because this power...
I'll do it, Steve. This was the home of the kids. Their father was out of town. He was on business. The children were very worried. Daddy wasn't home. And so the mother hired Steve's landscaping company to dress in gopher suits... To lay... What were you laying?
Oh, I was laying her... I'm sorry. I was laying...
What did you just say?
Nothing, sir. I was laying a... the sprinkler system. And, the sprinkler system. And also put in some... travertine tiles, what I'm trying to say.
And, all right, okay. And then the kids feel... Why would the kids... It's very interesting. The kids are reassured looking outside, seeing the gopher suit. Okay. Steve Dooley with us.
Yeah, because the kids just look out and see the big gophers.
Well, the kids look outside and see the large gophers going about their business.
Just, yeah, it's relaxing. It helps the children calm down if they see they're big gophers, they're giant gophers, but nonetheless, they are giant gophers going and minding their own business.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know that... I mean, if you ask me...
What? I'll try and help you with it.
Yeah, you do that, bud. Why don't you help me with this one, man? How is it relaxing for a kid to see a gopher minding its own business?
Steve, that'll be all. Phil thinks everything's funny now.
Oh, I totally understand.
Is that right?
Yes.
I just think that it's weird, man. I don't know what relaxes a kid about seeing, you know...
Well, I mean, like this, Mr. Renner.
Am I the only guy here tonight that understands that something's way off about this show? I mean, you guys, all everything that I hear that's weird, everything that I hear that is out there in outer space, you guys look at me like I'm nuts.
I don't think so, Phil. I think that we all came to the agreement that, I forget what we did, but there was one, we all agree that animals should not be abused.
Right, but you couldn't agree on the specifics. You know, you're all about riding an elephant from town to town. All of you guys thought that was just fantastic.
Bill, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it necessarily if the elephant is not abused, but I don't think that it is a natural act for an elephant to be in a circus and to have an agent, a press agent, sitting on him, riding him into town for ceremonial reasons. Put the elephant back in the jungle where the elephant damn well belongs.
And how are children going to see that?
Yeah, that's the other thing, Mr. Anna. I was telling people that, and they go, what about a kid? Kid'll never see an elephant.
Ain't that too bad? Let me tell you something. A kid can look in a book and see an elephant, get the kid up off of his little ass, have him earn some money himself in his lifetime, take his wife and his kids, and take him down to Africa and look at an elephant. You can go on those, what do you call them, those photographic safaris?
Yeah, man, if you had like $30,000 a person, man, normal people can't afford that.
So what you're telling me, then, is that normal people, regular people, folks that are middle class, the lower middle class, perhaps, because they're so poor, why don't we just go ahead and grab some animal out of the wild and just torture these creatures to death for the rest of their lives so some poor kid can look at one? No way. Not a chance. I don't agree with that.
So only the wealthy kid?
I guess so. That's not the way I'd like it, but that seems to be the way the world is built. You don't get to take a beautiful creature like that and torture the damn thing to death and put it through the agony of the damned because, oh, well, every kid gets the chance to see a poor, crippled-up, arthritic, abused, beaten-down creature, one of God's creatures, now chained up at night, or like those whales down there in SeaWorld that bob up and down in a tank for God knows how many hours a day before they get to go out and swim in front of people. What do you think they're doing, man, when they're not working, when they're not doing all that acrobatic crap?
They're swimming around.
Oh, are they swimming around? Where are they swimming around, man? Where?
Well, do they have a tank?
No, they don't have a tank. Those animals are cooped up in the most unnatural setting for a whale that you could imagine. Whales are used to traveling thousands of miles. They swim, man. They dive, baby. That's what they do. SeaWorld is a toilet. They ought to shut that place down as a criminal enterprise tomorrow. And don't go into this stuff. Those guys at SeaWorld really crack me up when they start pretending like they're animal rights people. Boy, you kill me with that. And they kill me with their whole environmental... You ain't got an environment. I went down, man. I talked to some of the people at the Aquarium of the Pacific. I won't name any names, but...
Phil, don't get them in trouble.
I'm not going to get them in trouble. But I asked them. I asked a couple people. Let's just say that they didn't work anywhere, that they were just freelance. And I said, what do you think about... they didn't want to comment about SeaWorld and their bullcrap.
Well, Phil, you've just alienated SeaWorld, McDonald's, Diet Pepsi, Walt Disney.
How did I alienate Walt Disney?
What do you mean alienate?
How did I alienate Walt Disney?
When you started talking all kinds of garbage about Chud. I don't know. Isn't Chud a Disney film? It could be.
Is Chud a Disney film? Woo, man, you are something, baby. All right, we'll be back.
Don't you ever call me baby. Excuse me.
Yeah, we'll be right back. What an animal. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back after all of this simple-minded stuff. I get a feeling to come round your house. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. There's radio. Then there's the Phil Henry Show. And as I said in my remarks to my colleagues, you know, there's a lot of platforms, man. There's your show, and then there's lots of ways. And for you guys who are listening to us, there's lots of ways that you are listening to this show, and I understand that. One of them, of course, is our website. That's what we talk about it a lot. And we thank you very much for patronizing, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, you're talking too much about a website, man.
Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, tired of it.
Well, I don't... Who's tired of it?
Well, David, you know.
Well, that's too bad for David. That's part of what I do, man. You know, we're plugging it all here, Jack. And before long, we hope that we have even more things to plug as we continue pushing forward with a variety of projects, none of which I'm going to come out and talk about because I've gotten in trouble in the past by talking about things that have not yet come to fruition, and we want to make sure that we don't do that. Now, we do have some news that we want to get to here. We've been talking about a number of things.
David just called. You don't have to talk to him.
No, I know I don't have to. What does he want now?
Well, Phil...
All he wants to know is you got to get to the point on a lot of stuff.
Tell that guy, get to the point on a lot of stuff. I tried to get to the point with this last person that I had on, this Bobby Dooley, talking about whether or not she was at some winery, and whatever we did in the first hour, I don't remember, which I don't even think anybody else can remember. Trying to get to the point of it.
Well, he was very concerned about the whole bashing of SeaWorld.
Well, that's too bad, man. You know what? You know, I'm telling you right now, this is a controversial medium. I understand. I don't blame these cats that are upset because everything is right-wing, 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 right-wing. I understand that. You know, that's the fault of the programmers, putting nothing but right-wingers on the air. But the fact is, you know, if you got 3 hours to fill, whether I'm a right-winger, a middle-winger, a left-winger, or a Deborah-winger... Anyway, no matter who I am or what I am, I'm going to have an opinion that's probably going to piss somebody off. You can get on the air here and say the following thing. You know, I really believe that children should be given food and shelter. And you know what? That'll bother somebody because they'll think it's too boring or dull or whatever. That'll bug them. I mean, you're never going to keep people happy. And there's going to be enough people that are going to be upset with this stuff. They'll drive either advertisers away or you. Now...
Yes, but you're on the air asking for it.
I understand, Margaret. The discussion is closed.
What a...
Yeah, you're always saying that.
That's right. The discussion's closed. Statue of Liberty and Grand Canyon to reopen. How about that, huh? New York and Arizona announced on Friday night that after dipping into their state coffers for the first time, actually making with some money and not crying and complaining about the federals doing everything, because after all, are we all about states' rights?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Hold on. Don't grab the copy.
Mr. Henry, a lot of people don't think you owe the ambassador of state right now.
What?
Yeah, let's speak English.
I am speaking English, you illiterate.
Hey, watch it now. I'm going to start kicking some ass here. You going to watch a guy take on all three of you? I'll do it.
I'm a girl.
All right, then these two. New York and Arizona announced on Friday night they're dipping into their state coffers to pay to reopen the iconic Statue of Liberty and Grand Canyon federally operated parks in their states that have been shuttered as a result of the partial government shutdown. You know, I'm learning a lot about this government. There's an awful lot that is coming sort of very clear with this government shutdown. I'm almost, you know, I'm sorry for the people that are out of work, but I'm actually, things are being brought into a central relief. You know, so many of these things that are federal... Like the Grand Canyon, for instance. Now, Arizona sits there. Arizona is one of the most conservative states in the Union. In fact, many people call it Florida West because it sort of represents the same thing that Florida does. Anybody, you know, do anything you want, be anything you want, be all you can be, all that great stuff. That's fine. That's fine. That's great. And more power to them. But, you know, they got this big thing there called the Grand Canyon, which is federal land. Federal land. That means it belongs to everybody. Belongs to all the people of the United States. But it's right there in Arizona. It's a major attraction for the state of Arizona. It is a major magnet for people traveling to that state. A federal piece of property. Now, what do you think Arizona would be without the Grand Canyon?
It would be just as beautiful, Phil. It would be just as lovely. But it wouldn't have all that traffic.
Yay!
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying that it is a federal attraction. And when I say federal, remember what I'm saying. I'm saying that it is something that is owned by the people of the United States, not just the people of Arizona, all the people of the United States. We own the Grand Canyon. That's ours. And we welcome everyone. We welcome the world. We even welcome Arizona. We even say to Arizona, it's okay. You can have a state around our Grand Canyon. You can have that state. Have fun. Have that state. As a matter of fact, you can have your state. You can have all that traffic coming into your state, all the restaurants, all the hotels, all of the people that vacation in Arizona to see the Grand Canyon. I can't think of too many sites. You know what I'm saying? What are the sites in America that you want to go see?
Well, it's not the Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower in America, man.
I know that.
The Eiffel Tower. I said in America.
Well, like what?
I'm asking you.
Well, obviously the Grand Canyon's one of them.
Okay. What about Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, Mount Rushmore.
Okay, and then I forget what else.
Well, we've got Mount... the what's the one?
Empire State Building.
Empire State Building.
Empire State Building. That's another. That's a man-made. And so is Mount Rushmore. But that's a good example. What else?
Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge. That's another good example. Now, keep in mind.
What did you? You just went. Phil. That's what I worry about you.
You know what? I'm talking for a living here, man, and it's not scripted. It's all improv. So forgive me if I don't have it all down just beautiful, right? If I stumble a little bit here. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Oh, don't give me that.
No, I'm giving it to you. Take it easy.
Mr. Gray.
What's he want?
He just was upset with something you said.
Frank Gray's upset with me?
Yeah, apparently.
Wait a minute. Let me talk to him. Frank, what's up? Frank, well, honey, he wants to talk to you.
Frank, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, young man?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm better than Custer, but I want to find out. When you said to my wife what you said about giving it to him, what do you mean?
I didn't mean sex. I meant giving it to her as in I'm telling her what to do.
All right, okay. But when you say that to another man's wife and you say I want to give it to him, and the husband's sitting there and she's wondering what you mean. Of course, naturally, I was wondering what you meant when you said to him you wanted to give it to him.
I meant that I wanted him to follow my direction. I'm giving him the... I'm laying down the law. I'm giving him the facts. Giving her the facts, I mean.
What did you say her?
I said him. I said her.
Frank, honey, we understand. Phil is under a lot of pressure. He has to get through this bit.
I didn't mean to do anything. I was trying to protect you, my wife. I mean, he's all I have.
Okay, thanks a lot, Frank.
Don't look at me.
One of these days, they're going to come up with a miracle cure for that STD he's got and clear up that gender confusion. Okay, that's what I meant, Frank. So anyway, you got all of these places that are these major attractions. Now, how many of those are federal? How many of those are state? I don't know. And I'm not even willing to do the research right now. I can do that when I get off the air for my own personal edification. But the point that I'm making is, some of these places that are federally operated... Ah, here's one. The big one that you guys forgot.
Which ones? When did I forget?
The Statue of Liberty.
The what?
The Statue of Liberty.
What is that?
Are you guys not... The statue?
Oh, the statue. Oh, the big... With the lady.
Yeah, the lady with the torch.
Is that federal?
No, man. It's... Yes, it's federal.
I thought it came from France.
It is from France. It was given to America as a gift. It's federal. That's a huge attraction. Federal money. Federal money, and federal money is what keeps that open. It's federal money that is obviously made there, but it is state money that's being earned by the state that surrounds that federal attraction, because people are coming in, they're buying whatever T-shirts, they're going to hotels, they're going to restaurants. Same thing in Arizona, same thing in any place where there's a federal attraction. So these states, particularly these places where they have a lot of these conservative teabag people, excuse me for saying teabag, I meant to say, because I think that teabag thing's juvenile, and it was something that, it's comedy material that we mined years and years ago.
All right.
Yeah.
You better break.
Oh, yeah, I better break. All right, so enough about that. We'll be right back to talk more here about the Statue of Liberty and the Grand Canyon. That's the story here, man.
Yeah, no, I just didn't know what you meant by the Statue of Liberty.
I meant that one there, the lady with the torch. Which one did you think I was talking about?
What about that lady on that Paramount Movies?
Yeah, there's a lady with a torch when Paramount Movies or Columbia.
We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And the lady with the torch and the Columbia Movies. Jack, I don't even know what it is you're talking about. All right, as we continue discussing the continuing shutdown of this here U.S. government. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we're looking up, I was trying to look up federally funded attractions, but yeah, I mean, you get the idea here. Here's the top 15 destinations in the United States, top 10 tourist attractions in the United States. The White House. I guess that's federal, huh?
Well, that's the what do you call it?
That's a District of Columbia.
District of Columbia. By the way, maybe they ought to rename the Redskins District something, the District...
No, man, that name it back to a city.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of some ways to make things sexy and keep the fans. Very interesting article I saw. I'm not changing the topic, but a very interesting article I saw over the last few days by a sports writer, a sports blogger for USA Today, and I think I already referenced it at least once. The guy said, it's a done deal. The Redskins will be changing their name. It's a done deal. The Redskins are going to be changing. Do you know what will cause the Redskins to change their name? The players getting behind it. Because once the players get behind it, the ownership and the commissioner will have no choice whatsoever. They'll have no choice. If you look at the Martin Luther King, the last sort of racially charged issue, and I'm sorry, but it was. I don't give a damn. These people, I love. There's nobody that screams louder than a white person when you tell them, hey, there's maybe some racial issues here. No, there isn't. No, there's not. Don't you look at, man, try and sell that to somebody else, okay? I'm very bored hearing people denying. Just accept it, okay? It's all right. You're still my friend.
Well, I'm not a racist, Phil.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying that you are, but I am saying there's some decisions we make that are racially influenced, and you're not going to tell me that they aren't. So, all right, now, all I'm trying to say is, God, now look at this.
Probably going to lose a whole bunch of listeners, Mr. Henry, talking like that.
Why are you saying that? You're black.
I know I'm black.
You ought to be agreeing with him.
I'm just saying you're going to lose a lot of people because I know how white people think.
You don't know how I think. Well, maybe you do.
Yeah, I think he reads your mind, man, better than you read your mind.
Read my mind?
Yes. Here's the thing. The players get behind us because the players got behind the Martin Luther King holiday, which you'll remember, Arizona was one of the states that was against it, observing the Martin Luther King's birthday as a national holiday. And the thing that made a change was really the dollars involved. It was made very evident that you're not going to have the Super Bowl. You're not going to have a whole lot of. You certainly aren't going to probably retain the sheen of an NFL market. They had the Arizona Cardinals. But the Super Bowl was planned for Phoenix, and that wasn't going to happen. And I think that there was more to the point. There was almost a revolt by the players in the NFL to get this done. So there was that, and I think that will happen with this Redskin thing. Anyway, the guy said that it's a done deal.
Well, how does he know it's a done deal? Who is this guy?
He's a sports writer, and I forget his name. Seriously,
was he anonymous?
No, he wasn't anonymous. He had a name.
Well, what was it?
I don't remember. I don't remember what his name was.
Bob? Jerry?
I don't know, bud. So what? You know?
Well, give us a first name.
I can't give you a first name.
Was it Bob or Jerry?
I don't think it was Bob or Jerry. What difference does it make?
Because we want to know who the writer is so that we can attach a name and a face to the statement. Otherwise, we think you're making this up.
Oh, am I making it up?
Uh-oh. Don't say that.
Well,
am I making it up? It's in the USA Today. It was in the Wednesday edition of the USA Today, if not the Wednesday, the Tuesday. And I'm telling you, it was there.
Give me a first name.
Okay, Steve.
All right, Steve, do you remember last name? So we know the man's name was Steve.
No, we don't.
Well, that's the name you gave me.
I gave you a first name. I don't know if that's his name.
You, Phil, you really are trying to alienate all the women in your audience by alienating me because they see you through my eyes. And
oh, will you get out of here? All right, so the number one federally funded attraction, if you will, in the United States is, you would think, and you're right, the White House. The White House in Washington, D.C., the official residence of the President of the U.S. of A. The number two biggest is the Denali National Park and Preserve. And guess where that's located? You got it, baby. One of the most conservative states in the Union, one might guess, Alaska. That is a destination, one of the biggest destinations. It's the second biggest destination. Wait, is it that number 9 or number 10? But
what a jackball, man. You're reading it in reverse.
You jackass on wheels.
Well, wait a minute, man.
That's what it says, Mr. Henry. You're going 10, 9, 8.
Sorry, folks.
That's very... If I were you, I'd hang my head in shame.
God.
All right. Sorry, folks, I said it was it's not the White House. The number one, the number one, you know.
No, this won't bail you out.
Yeah, it's bailing me out. The number one is the Grand, here we go, David. What is this? All of a sudden, hey, wow, we got Phil here, man. Let's call in. The number one is the Grand Canyon. Yeah, David.
You said that the number one attraction was the White House, and it said number 10? Oh, baby. Hey, I got to wait for Daphne to hear this one.
Okay, so I'm not going to have you on the air for that.
Whoa, hold on, man, because I'm giving you some advice. You said if I give you program input, it's okay.
Yeah, and telling Daphne ain't part of it.
She's standing right here. Guess what? He said number 10 was actually, or number one was number 10. She doesn't care. Hey, Phil, did you...
All right.
Why did you hang up on him?
Because he had nothing to say. That's why I hung up on him. Jeez. Well,
Phil, you said the number one attraction...
I know was the White House, and it's number 10. All right, the number one attraction in the United States for tourists is... the Grand Canyon! Yay!
That's the one you were talking about.
That's the one I was talking about. It's located in northern Arizona. It's one of the great tourist attractions in the United States. Carved over several million years by the Colorado River, the canyon attains a depth of over one point... well, whatever. And there's a whole lot of money pouring into the good old state of Arizona to go see that federal attraction. Now, the number two tourist attraction in America is not federal, per se. It is a... actually, it's a city. It is part of a city. What city do you think that would be?
It's part of a city.
Yeah.
It's in America.
Yeah, it's in America. God, come on.
Oh, Phil, give me a break. You're looking right at it, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I would say that it is Manhattan.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Well, you said part... that was the dead giveaway.
Manhattan. It is one of New York's five boroughs and is what people most often think of when they picture New York. Its familiar skyline and its sights have been featured 1,000 times on television screens and movie screens around the world. Walk in the shadow of the skyscrapers. Picture the Statue of Liberty. See a Broadway show. Yep, it's the Empire State Building.
That's federally funded, too.
No, it ain't federally funded.
Why not?
It's privately owned, man. I mean, it's not private. It's part of a city.
It's part of a city that is fed... well, it's private...
These are privately owned buildings in the middle of a city that's owned by a city.
What are you talking about? That sounds almost like Gloyd speak.
It does, Phil.
Well, it ain't my fault. It ain't federally funded, okay? It's not a federally funded attraction. Now, number three...
that looks like Jupiter.
Is that the planet... well, that's not a federal...
no, Jupiter is not a federal... oh, man, you guys are weird.
Well, what does that look like to you?
It looks like Jupiter, but it ain't. Number three is the Yellowstone National Park. It was the world's first national park, set aside in 1872 to preserve the vast number of geysers, hot springs, and the thermal areas, as well as to protect the incredible wildlife and the rugged beauty of the area. Yellowstone lies on top of a gigantic hot spot where light, hot, molten mantle rock rises toward the surface. Subsequently, the park contains half of the world's known geothermal features, with more than 10,000 examples of geysers and hot springs. In addition, black bears, grizzly bears, deer, elk, bison.
What's bison?
It's like buffalo.
Well, it's buffalo that is bison-like, right? It's like a Bruin.
Yeah, is it a bear and a Bruin?
Well, I don't know what a Bruin is, man, so how would I know what a bison is? All right, so let's just take a break here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, what is a Bruin?
I don't give a crap what a Bruin is, Margaret. Would you give me a break here, man? I'm trying to figure this stuff out as I go along, okay? Anyway, I don't know what a Bruin is any more than I know what a freaking bison is. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. God. Wait a minute, we have more time than this, don't we?
Yes, we do. We have 30 seconds, I just heard Matt say. So what is a Bruin?
A Bruin is a bear, and a bison is a buffalo.
What kind of bear?
A Bruin is a bear that talks. It can speak English. And a bison is a buffalo that wears hats and pants.
Oh, okay.
Real smart-ass, aren't you?
Ain't I?
Aren't you?
And I. World famous Phil Henry Show here, and we got this discussion we're having here of the federally funded don't know, tourist attractions. All I'm trying to figure out here is we talk about, well, all these federal sites are being closed down, and we have this argument about money and where money is spent and how money is spent and who gets the money and who doesn't get the money. And we find out that the number one federally owned tourist site in America, meaning it's federal land, federal officers, and the people that come to see this attraction are traveling through this state to see a attraction owned by the people of the United States of America, but it sits in the middle of, or it should say in the northern part of Arizona. So Arizona benefits from all of this traffic, all of this traffic going to see something that is owned by all of us. Now, I don't know, there are probably people, and I'm not, you know, complaining about Arizona, but Arizona has its, it has its fair share of conservative thinkers and people that are all about, you know, why, this is my state, and I will not have.
Nobody talks like that in Arizona.
Yeah, they don't talk like a Kentucky colonel there.
All right, well, how do they talk in Arizona?
Well, they talk more like, hi, I'm from Arizona.
Yeah, they talk like that.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a guy down there going, hi, I'm from Arizona. And he has, you know, all of this bread because he's got a restaurant. And he's got a motel. And he owns this and he owns that. All these things that are there to service, if you will, the tourists that come into the state. And why are they going there? To go and see something that's owned by the people of the United States, the Grand Canyon. Now, so just kind of mull that one over.
Yeah, what about the Golden Gate Bridge?
Now, the Golden Gate Bridge is another matter. We also got to Yellowstone National Park, which is gorgeous. And is also federal land. Now we come to number four, which is the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, the Golden Gate Bridge, I had to look up and do a little bit of research on. The Golden Gate Bridge was built by the state of California, and I don't see anything here, although it might have been transferred somewhere along the line, but and I haven't gotten that deep into my reading, but the Golden Gate Bridge was built by the state of California through a great deal of difficulty because there was a depression on. When the Golden Gate Bridge was completed, it was in the year 1937. Well, guess what? Guess what had been happening for the preceding 10 years or thereabouts? There'd been an economic depression which dried money up. The initial cost was projected at more than $35 million. I think they eventually brought it in at $27 million, but it was constructed by the sale of bonds. People bought bonds, which that money is immediately used to build the bridge, and then they can turn these bonds in for the interest. But the bonds were sold primarily in the counties affected, or the counties where the bridge would be. So you have to say that that's a...
Yes, well, that is a state-owned or city-owned site, but California is a very liberal state. So that's also hypocritical of California the opposite way.
Why is that?
Well, because California is all about taking federal money, and they're not taking enough.
Yeah.
California's all about taking federal money, and they're not taking enough.
Well, that's what you... Aren't they supposed to take federal money?
You're not supposed to do anything. You're not supposed to do anything. You can do what you can afford to do. You can do what you think is the smart thing to do. You can do what you think is the most efficient thing to do. In this case, they built a bridge, and they got the... And this was back in 1937, man, so who knows what they were thinking back then. Aren't they supposed to take federal money?
Well, if you're a liberal...
It doesn't mean you got to. Okay, so anyway, that's the Golden Gate stinking bridge, man. That's state. The next thing, Niagara Falls. Who built that? I'll tell you, the federal government.
All right, hey.
They did?
No, they didn't, man. Look at it.
It's a waterfall, you jackball.
It's a waterfall. No federal government could build something like that. The only person that could build that would be God, and she did a great job.
What are you talking about, she? Everybody know God's a man.
Oh, let's get off that kick, okay?
Well, she still did a great job.
Good thing we don't have Frank on the air with us. He'd be saying he did a great job, but he'd mean she.
No, he'd be saying she did a great job, and he'd mean she because Frank thinks... You're not going to believe this.
What?
Frank thinks God is a lesbian. I'm telling you this because he said one day, God, you know, thank her. And so I had to approach this very gently because you know that Frank calls everything by its opposite gender unless he believes that individual or thing to be homosexual.
Right. So, for instance, he calls Rosie O'Donnell her.
Yes. Well, he said we'd like to thank God for all of her grace, as he was saying a prayer, you know, before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So I had to be very delicate, and I said, now, Frank, darling, do you think God is a... what do you think the gender of God is? He said, well, everyone knows that... He says, everyone thinks God is... everyone thinks God is a man. He said, but I think that she, you know...
So God thinks that she's a woman, meaning...
Meaning she must be a lesbian.
Did he say that?
No, but he said, I think she is...
How did you know that he didn't mean...
Are you listening to me? For? Because he could be listening right now.
Look, man, I'm not going to be talking, like this is some national secret.
Please don't call me man.
All right, I'm not talking like it's a national secret here. How do you know that Frank wasn't saying when he said she, I should, why am I even...
Damn, that always gets you nuts.
Why am I even talking about this? This is the stupidest thing.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, because Frank said everybody thinks God's a man, but I think she... Don't that mean it's a man?
No, you idiot. He says she when he thinks it's a she because he thinks she's...
A lesbian.
Yes.
And how do you know God... How do you know God thinks Frank... Not God.
How do I know Frank thinks God is a she? Because he said to me, everyone thinks she is a man.
Oh.
See?
Everyone thinks she's a man, so I think... But I think she...
I think she's a woman. And I thought, well, then...
Because if he said she, he would have meant a man.
But he didn't. Because he said everyone thinks she's a man.
I don't understand it, you know.
What don't you get, Phil?
Here's what I don't get. Why I gotta even deal with something like this. This guy comes on my show as a regular. He's a lawyer.
Phil, don't raise your voice.
No. He comes on my show. He's a regular. He's talking about this. He's talking about that. He's talking about entertainment. He's interviewing people. He's talking to me. He's giving me all of this advice about this, that, or something else. And everybody's gotta listen to this cat and figure out what it is he's saying because he's flipping the genders around. It's driving me nuts, I'm telling you. It's flipping me out.
Would you rather he not be on the show?
I mean, if we need him on the show, that's fantastic if he has some information for us, but he's driving me ape with some of this stuff. I gotta sit here through 10 minutes of a show and figure out what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, McGrady.
Well, you know that if I tell him that he doesn't have to be on your show, he'll love it because he hates coming on here. Not because he doesn't like you. It's just too late in the day, and he needs his rest. And by the time he comes on...
By the time he comes on here, he's drunk.
All right, yes.
Okay, so... I would rather not have to... I like Frank. I'm glad that he's on the show. It's just... It's driving me ape. Okay, so that's the Niagara Falls. Weren't we talking about...
Yeah, that's federally funded.
It ain't federally... Well, it's got to be federal land. It's Niagara Falls. Situated between the state of New York and the province of Ontario, Niagara Falls is one of the most spectacular natural wonders of North America. Niagara Falls is actually three different falls. The American Falls, Bridal Veil Falls, and Horseshoe Falls. Horseshoe Falls is located... on the Canadian side, while the other are located in New York, with more than 14 million visitors each year, it is one of the most visited tourist... Oh, God.
Well, see, that's part of... that's Canada.
Some of it's Canada, but that's another federal site in New York State. The next one is Kilauea, which is the big volcano. It is on the Big Island of Hawaii in the Hawaiian Archipelago. It is a very low, flat shield volcano, vastly different in profile from the high, sharply sloping peaks of what they call stratovolcanoes. Kilauea is one of the most active volcanoes on Earth, an invaluable resource for volcanologists.
What's that, a guy that studies a Vulcan?
No, you jackball man, it's about a volcano.
Vulcan.
Well,
that's a good question. By the way, was Vulcan, that planet that Spock came from, right?
Yes.
Did that have a lot of volcanoes?
I don't know.
I guess it did.
Because I saw in the last, one of those, never mind. 33 eruptions have taken place. What's so funny?
Did you see what he wrote?
Get away from him!
Leave him alone! I'll kill him!
Put his hand, you're... What are you trying to do, anyway?
Did you see what he wrote?
In Frank's pants.
Big...
I'm just trying to do a joke!
Get out of here, bud, will you?
What does he think he's trying to pull?
You know that I fed him a line. I didn't mean to.
All you said was that 33 eruptions have taken place.
Yeah, and then he wrote
it down and showed me.
All right, we're going to take a break and try to pull our act together here, such as it is on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we invite you to join us on Sunday. We have our Game of the Week there with our good friends there, Ted Bell and Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman will be doing the Game of the Week on Sunday at 1:30 on Phil TV. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here, the Phil Henry Show, and it's now Saturday morning in a great many places, and that's a good thing, and we're talking about, maybe we've been talking about this too long, but you know, this is educational for me, and on top of that, it's like taking a mini vacation, ain't it?
Not right. No, not right. I feel that I'm stuck. I feel like I'm stuck in the fuselage of an aircraft that has been forced down because of weather, but they won't let us off, and it's beginning to stink.
Well, I'm so sorry about that.
Well...
Let's just go someplace else, then.
Oh, look at him. He's got a ball.
No.
Look at... Everybody, just be quiet, man, while I finish this. Because what we're talking about here are the number one attractions in America, the number one tourist attractions in the United States, and whether or not these are federally funded, because I think it means something, okay? Now, look, Niagara Falls is in the state of New York. The Golden Gate Bridge, I've discovered at least two, which is the Grand Canyon in Arizona. I'm talking about federally funded, federally owned, and massively attractive tourist sites that bring all kinds of people into a state to go and see something that's owned by the people of the United States of America. So you may, you know, you'd be tempted, and I think you would be, you know, within your rights to think that the people of Arizona, the state of Arizona, almost gets a double good shot of fun here. Man, they've got the Grand Canyon in their state, which is cool. They can go see it. And they also get all the people that are coming to see the Grand Canyon into their state, and that's worth a lot of money. There ain't no way of getting around it. The other is this park in Alaska, which is Denali National Park. And there are a great many others, folks. I'm not trying to say, well, look, there's Alaska and there's Arizona, and those are absolutely, for sure, a very conservative state. But I'm just telling you, this is the ninth most visited tourist attraction in America. Denali National Park and Preserve is located around Mount McKinley. It's a huge tourist attraction. It's lots and lots of people coming to visit the state of Alaska, putting a lot of dollars into the pockets of people in Alaska. And I know that you've got oil, and Alaskans would probably say, man, we could live without the tourists. And maybe they're right. Maybe you're right. And maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're wrong. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the state depends on when it comes to money, especially from tourists. The seventh most visited site is in Florida. That's the Florida Keys. Now, I don't think the Florida Keys are federal, though, you know.
There's those stretch of islands and everything.
Well, why wouldn't they be federal?
I don't know. I could be wrong, but the highway is that connects them. And so in order for people to get down to the various Keys and to visit these beautiful places along the Florida Keys, you have to take something that is maintained and owned and operated by the United States government, US-1. And so these are the things that I think are conveniently forgotten by people when we talk about, you know, state versus federal money. I'm not taking, I know what my side is on this thing, man. I don't want to go crazy on this. You know, I just want to say, you know, we got to get off of this kick of thinking that now there's federal here and there's state over there. And this is ours and that's yours. And never, 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 never does this money ever mingle or mix, you know.
Well, but I think the state people are saying, Phil... this is our state. You want to come into our state? Fine. We'd rather you not treat us as if we're carrying your slop jars.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
What do you mean, slop jars?
People won't be carrying like you're carrying a slop jar.
Well, there ain't nobody carrying a slop. I'm going out to see the Grand Canyon. I haven't asked anybody in Arizona to carry a slop jar. The biggest thing I'd do is say, can you give me the directions of the Grand Canyon? That's it.
Well, but I mean, you're staying in a hotel.
Yeah, I'm not asking to carry a slop jar. There are no slop jars.
What kind of hotel you stay in?
Doesn't matter, man. If you're staying in a hotel or a motel that is owned by an Arizonan, owned by a business that's in Arizona, you're giving them money. You're saying, hi, I'm down here to see your Grand Canyon, which is actually my Grand Canyon. I'm coming down to look at my Grand Canyon. Thank you very much. And here I'll stay in your motel, and I'll eat in your restaurant, and I'll buy your clothes, and I will, you know, I will patronize a variety of other establishments that you have here, all so that I may come down and see this gorgeous, magnificent tourist attraction. The Florida Keys, you know, are the Florida Keys, but you can't get to the Florida Keys unless you travel on a federal highway. So, I mean, you know, this is real money, folks. I'm not making this up. You know, I'm not just saying, well, let me see if I can... This is how the world has been working for a long time, and somehow, every time we get into some political discussion having to do with liberal, conservative, this, that, it always breaks down into local money, federal money, local money, and it's always this discussion as to what really is the heart and the soul and the goodness and the grooviness of America is, you know, the small town, or maybe it's the big government. We don't know, but in each instance, you see the interaction of federal and state. In each instance, you see the symbiotic relationship between the two. Any moron can see it, but for some reason, when we get into politics, we all get dumb. I mean, we just all get stupid.
Well, I don't really like that characterization, Phil.
I'm not being personal to you, Margaret, okay?
Well, what do you mean?
But here's what I mean. I can't get to the Florida Keys unless I take a federal highway. If I live in Florida, let's say, and I'm a conservative voter, and I don't want a whole lot of I don't want to have to pay for somebody through a federal program, this, that, something else. And yet, what's happening here? Well, I mean, Phil, the U.S. highway must be maintained for a bunch of tourists. What are you talking about? I mean, the federal highway that connects the U.S. highway that connects the Florida Keys, what's it connecting? A bunch of islands down there. Is it vital to any kind of economy? Sure it is. It's vital to the Florida economy. And what is the Florida economy when it comes to that particular area? In fact, the whole state. But let's just talk about the Keys. Tourism. People coming from places other than Florida. And the thing that enables them to get to the number one tourist attraction in Florida is a U.S. highway. It's not even a Florida highway. So Florida doesn't do much of anything, man, other than just sit there on their ass and wait for the money.
So what you're saying, in essence, is that Florida is one big, throbbing, living welfare organism, and I think that's insulting.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. Saying that Florida's just sitting all down there waiting for people to come along and just dump money in a tambourine.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that, but I am saying that there's the Florida Keys, which everybody wants to go see, and in order for them to get to the Florida Keys, they have to take a U.S. highway. And then they go down there and spend their money locally. But the fact is that they wouldn't get there were it not for... Now, the Floridians, they can do what they want.
What's Floridian?
It's somebody in Florida. What are you, nuts?
You don't know what a what is a Floridian?
Someone in Florida. Didn't you hear what she said?
Who's she?
You.
Who's you?
Margaret. Did you hear what Margaret said?
What's she say?
That's it, man.
What's wrong with you, man?
Why don't you guys listen, okay? You got... What did she say?
They want to know what a Floridian is. What do you think it is?
Sounds like something you put in the water.
Sounds like something you put in the water. You mean fluoridation?
Yeah.
No, man. A Floridian is someone that lives in Florida, okay? And then the other place is, I don't know about this Kilauea, but...
That the killer... Well, you thought it was a killer whale.
No, not killer whale. Kilauea. It's a volcano. It's a flat volcano, too. Not that that means anything, either. All right, so that's just a little bit of edification and education on the tourist. I've not been to... Of all these places, I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
You gotta be putting me on.
You never been there, Miss Harry?
I've never been to the Grand Canyon, no.
Well, you think you've been to the Grand Canyon, because you went to that Waimea Canyon.
I said it looked like maybe what the Grand Canyon looks like, yeah. The one in Hawaii?
Yes.
But I never claimed I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've been to Manhattan. I've been to the Yellowstone. I've been to the Golden Gate Bridge. I've seen Niagara Falls once when I was 5 years old from the Canadian side.
What?
I said I saw Niagara Falls once when I was 5 years old from the Canadian side. Okay?
Was that the same thing as seeing it?
Seeing what?
In Niagara Falls.
I saw the Canadian version of it.
Well, what is that?
Whatever this one part of... Oh, boy. And then I saw...
See that thing there?
No, I didn't see the volcano. I've seen the Florida Keys. I've been to the Las Vegas Strip. I haven't been to the park. I have been to the White House. So, like, maybe three-quarters of these things I've seen. I wouldn't mind going to the Las Vegas Strip again. I don't need to see the Keys again. I would rather go to the Las Vegas Strip than see the volcano. Now then.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you very much, Matt, for taking care of business there in Washington, D.C. for us tonight. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Bud. Thank you, Robert, and all of our guests. See you Monday, baby. See you for the game, 1:30 on Sunday. Game of the week right here at Phil TV on philhenryshow.com.
You wouldn't go to see the volcano.
I don't care, man. I'm going to go to the Vegas Strip. It's going to do me more good.